What does it feel like to be beyond bewildered with no hope for any help?
As parents, we want to know how to take our family to the next level.
Where our children choose into excellence.
Where poor behaviors melt away naturally.
And where our connection to each other is rich and beautiful.
We are Kent and Amy Bowler, and our purpose is to help you achieve just that.
This is where joy lives.
Welcome to Revolutionary Families.
Well, let me tell you, it's not happy. A couple years ago, several years ago, we had the opportunity to go to Japan. Our son had been over there for a while, a good while. We were going with Amy's parents to go pick him up. And so we had a set date and a set time where we were supposed to meet with him in Japan in a set place. I got to play travel agent and make...
And tour guide.
Well, Dan was supposed to be the... Our son was supposed to be the tour guide.
Yep.
Right. But until we got to him, then yeah, I got to be tour guide. So I spent quite a bit of time putting together our itinerary. So I have all these plans put together. We get on our plane and we fly over to Japan and get into Tokyo. And we're doing great. And we're supposed to meet him the next morning. But our flight from Tokyo down to Fukuoka had been canceled. And now the whole plan is in shambles. And now we're scrambling, trying to figure out what do we do to get to where we're supposed to be in time to meet him.
And he didn't have a cell phone. He was staying kind of at the leader's home. So we just had an email for him.
Right. We had an email and we sent off an email saying we're working on it. But we didn't hear anything back and we're not sure. We weren't sure if the communication had gone through or not. So we're trying to figure out, okay, so what do we do? So the flight had been canceled. The airline that we were with didn't have anything that we could take that night. And the best thing that they could do was offer us a flight from the other airport.
So, in Tokyo.
In Tokyo. So Tokyo has two big airports, Narita and Haneda. And we had flown into Narita. But Tokyo is a massive city. Narita is on the east side, and Haneda is on the west side of Tokyo. And they said, well, there's a flight that goes down from Haneda to Fukuoka early tomorrow morning that will get you there close to the time frame that you need to be. And it was now late in the evening. And so now our challenge was, okay, how do we get across Tokyo to this other airport? And they said, well, there's a bus that goes. So we went to the bus terminal inside the airport, and as luck would have it, the last bus had just gone. So there's no bus. You could take a taxi, but it with the number of people that we had traveling, oh, there were five of us traveling.
Yeah, our daughter was with us.
Our daughter was with us too. So there's five of us with luggage for all of us. So to take a taxi to go across that distance across Tokyo would have cost almost as much as the plane tickets. So they suggested that we, you know, at the bus terminal, they said, well, there's a train and you can get on the train and go from Narita to Haneda.
It sounds great.
Right? Sounds easy. And everyone knows that the trains in Japan are amazing.
Yeah.
And they were amazing. They're super cool. So we're off on this adventure late in the evening going from Narita to Haneda. So there's the Narita Express that goes from Narita Airport all the way into Tokyo. And there's the big train station there is Shinagawa. And so we make it to Shinagawa, no problem. And now we're in this just massive, massive train station.
Yeah, we cannot comprehend. We don't have anything like it in the U.S.
In perspective, it's like, so we live in a small town, well, St. George. And that train station felt as big as all of St. George. And I'm sure that it had more people in that train station than live in all of Southern Utah.
Oh my goodness.
Seriously.
So many people.
So many people. Right? So there's just, it's a massive train station, multiple levels and thousands of gates. I don't know if there's actually thousands, but you just overwhelming, completely overwhelming. So we're there and now we're trying to find the connecting train that will take us to Haneda, right? And it's this other airport, and so you would think that there'd be signs for it. Of course, all the signs are in Japanese, but there are some signs that have, you know, smaller subtitles in English.
You can't read Japanese?
Nope. Do you?
Unfortunately.
You don't either, right?
No.
No, none of us did. And And so we're trying to make this connection to Haneda, to get to Haneda so we can catch that flight early in the next morning to get down to meet our son at the appointed time and place. And we're just struggling. We're all struggling, and it's not working out. And so finally I say, okay, well, I'm going to go off exploring. You, everybody stay put, and I'll see what I can figure out. And I went and found a ticket station and asked for directions, you know, how do I get to the train to Haneda? And of course, I'm not even saying these words well, I'm sure, but the other train, I mean, yeah, the other airport. And all I got was, you know, go that way. So I walked that way. And I walked that way as far as I can go, and I don't see anything saying anything about Haneda, the other airport. Just nothing. And so I'm wandering, and I'm just getting more and more overwhelmed and bewildered and totally lost. Just totally derailed.
And feeling this responsibility that you're the, you know more than the rest of us, though you still don't know that much, but like it's up to you to get us to the other place, and that we really need to meet our son. He's gonna be waiting for us. He's gonna be lost. What, you know, he's gonna wonder if we even got in the country.
If something happened to us, yeah. So all kinds of pressure, and now I'm trying to figure out, okay, what do I do? And so that dismay, that bewilderment that I was feeling obviously showed on my face, because at that moment of total despair, out of those millions of faces walking past, you know, hurrying, scurrying, all of a sudden there was a gentleman that asked me in English, do you need help? Yes, I do. I need help. I'm trying to find my way to the train that will take me to Haneda. Let me show you where it is. And basically took me by the hand, didn't hold hands, but, you know, walked with me and walked me across the train station, and then showed me, this is how you get to the place for the train for Haneda. So what it is in that train station is that there are different train companies, and they don't help each other. So there's this massive train station, and most of it is run by the one company that we had come in on from Narita on the Narita Express, but it was a different company that operated the train to Haneda.
And no signs in the one place for the other place.
Right. It's like never the twain shall meet. That, you know, they don't even talk about the other company. And so he showed me, here's where the other part of the train station is. And once you get inside that part of the train station, now there are signs for Haneda because it's the other company. And so then I was able to go back and find the rest of the group and take us through over to the other side of the train station, to the other company, to that line that would take us to Haneda.
And we made it to our son, and we're only about an hour late. Miracles of miracles.
And he had never received the email. The people in the office weren't there, and so they hadn't been able to communicate to him, and he had been worried about, where are you? And, you know, we're not there. And but we tell that story because, for me, in that moment, I was at a point of despair that I'm not accustomed to, that I'm not used to feeling that way. And as adults, we're typically not used to feeling that way, that level of bewilderment, overwhelm, not knowing where I'm supposed to turn, not knowing what's next, and feeling that sense of despair, that sense of no hope whatsoever.
Yeah, and that is that. That story has a connection to our families and to our children especially. I think all of us have seen our kids at a time when they are not doing well, when they are lost, when they're frustrated, when they're confused, when they are really struggling and don't see any way out of it. And if we take it from our adult perspective, we can look at that and say, no, it's not a big deal. It's just a Lego thing. Or it's not a big deal. It's just a couple of friends. And kind of not have a lot of patience for that or understanding for what our kids are going through, that in their world and in their reality, a lot of the things that they are working on are difficult for them. Kind of like for us in that airport, we were way in over our heads. We were out of our league and in a completely new place. And that language barrier is such a cool analogy, because I think a lot of times as parents, we aren't speaking our children's language. We can't understand them. It is difficult. Sometimes they are in a different world and they're wanting one thing and we don't quite know what that is or don't completely understand how to help them get there. But when we can take that time and kind of see that they really need us and at the same time speak their language like that man did to you, we can help kind of point them in the right direction. That doesn't mean he linked arms with you and said, oh, come with me. I'm going to that exact same place. Let's all go together. I'll walk with you every step of the way. I'll buy a ticket and we'll go together. No, he didn't completely do that, but he walked with you a little ways and said, here.
Here's the next step.
Here's the next step, and showed you the sign that said Haneda in English. And then you were able to move on. He helped you at a point when you couldn't help yourself. Yeah. Literally, you were not able to find it. We were even less than able. We were just like, I hope you find something because we'll just sit here and wait for you. But those are the kind of parents that we want to be, where we are helping our children. We're aware of that they need help and we're going to them. And that awareness includes being aware of their abilities, what they're capable of, not just what is a 5-year-old or is a 14-year-old capable of, but they're individuals. What does this child, I know she really struggles with these social interactions or completing a huge, big task, breaking down into parts. I mean, it can be a lot of different things and children are different, so it depends on them. When are they in over their head and how can we help them? How can we guide them?
So the whole thing with this is that we do not fall to the temptation of seeing them as crybabies or just being belligerent, right? That is oftentimes our natural reaction is to see them in that space. And like Amy was saying, to say, well, it's just this. Because from our perspective, we see all the steps. We've been through it and we know the steps.
For that man who helped you, that airport was not difficult.
The train station.
The train station. How many times? I'm sure he'd been there tons of times.
Right.
And he spoke both languages and he understood the two company situation. It wasn't difficult for him. And there were hundreds of people who passed you by and didn't see that you didn't know what you were doing.
But he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then had compassion, took compassion on me and said, how can I help? And so this is the thing that we want to do with our children, is to see them when they're in that space, when they're struggling, when they're feeling that sense of overwhelm, when they're totally bewildered, when they're off track, when they're off kilter, and ask them, what do you need? What can we do together? And then we help them to see what the next step is.
And part of that speaking their language is understanding how we can connect with them in that moment. Sometimes it's, tell me about what you're doing. Maybe it's just sitting there with them, giving them moral support. Maybe it's, tell me about what the issue is. What is that? Maybe it's just relating and giving them empathy. And that's the emotional support they need that's going to help them to find their solution. And other times it is outright saying, do you need some help? I think actually I could help you. Or I can't help you, but let's go look up a YouTube or let's call someone who can, or help them, guide them to finding that solution.
With our 7-year-old, there are times when he gets in that space where he's bewildered and he's very articulate and has great control of language, ability with language. But even for him, there are times when he doesn't even have the ability to articulate what is wrong, what's bothering him. And so at that moment in time, do you want a hug? And just sit there and hold him until he figures it out.
Yeah.
Pulls those emotions back together.
Yeah. This weekend, one of our grandsons and his parents were visiting us and we just had a great time and he's 18 months. And so he doesn't have a lot of words in his vocabulary yet. It was really fun to see how he could still communicate with us. Even though he doesn't really speak English very much yet, he still could tell us what he wanted or what he needed, and we could figure this out. But we had to pay, you had to pay attention to him. Especially he's a quiet, pretty chill little guy, and he was not going to do a lot of fussing and would probably be fine to just struggle through. But it was cool to see. And I saw one time when his mom was awesome, and you know, he's just exploring all over our house, loving this new adventure of a new place. And he kind of stumbled over something and fell about halfway over next to this bookshelf. And one of us was about to go and help him. And his mom was like, no, he's got it. It's okay. You know, give him a second. It doesn't look like he's hurt. No. And he did. He kind of toppled halfway over and then got back up again. And it was okay. We want to give the help that they need when they can't do it themselves. Not the enabling or stepping over the bounds where we're now doing things for them that they can do on their own, or preventing them from learning or growing. No, we always want to encourage them to do as much as they can on their own. But being aware of our different children, their different needs, and when they're super lost in the train station.
So our invitation for you today is to remember that your children are still children. And even when they've grown long past the toddler phase, to remember that they are in fact still toddlers in some areas. There are situations that can be overwhelming, where they become bewildered and lost and don't have the ability to move forward. And as we focus and are aware of where they are, we can step in appropriately to give direction, to give some hope, to go through these activities as we've talked about, these things that we can do to help them move forward and pull out of that bewilderment.
And that's the second step, is to be there and point the direction that they should head. Give them that little boost, that little help that they need.
Remember to go to our webpage, revolutionaryfamilies.com, and download the number one parenting secret that will give you some tools to help you gain insight into who your children are and who they are becoming.
We see you. We love you. We know that you are doing the very best that you can for your family, and we applaud you for your effort. It's not easy. And keep up the amazing work, and trust that God trusts you.